The most fundamental question, I think, in the whole Masechta Sanhedrin has to be, if the whole Masechta is about setting up Batei Din and about the rules that govern Batei Din, so I think the most fundamental question that we need to ask ourselves is, what is the purpose of Batei Din? What are they there to accomplish? What's the point? Why do we need to have Batei Din? So, what do you think? It sounds like a very general question. Why do you have a Beis Din? What's the purpose of a Beis Din?
To keep civil,
to keep things in, keep society running, functioning properly, and Beis Din has to make sure that we need a Beis Din in order to make sure that there's not complete chaos. In fact, the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are all basically about the normal functioning of morality in society, and one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach is to set up Din, to set up a court system. So you need a court system to decide order. So, okay, that seems fairly obvious. But what is the best way to keep order? Meaning, we don't follow just whatever is the path of least resistance when it comes to a Din Torah. Meaning, if, let's say you have two people in front of you at a Din Torah. One of them is very meek and is likely to just accept whatever you say, and the other one is going to fight you on every little point and is going to make a big deal about everything. So the path of least resistance is just to be mechayev, the meek person, and pater, the person who's going to fight you at every point. If a Beis Din does that, that would be a terrible thing, though, right? Even though, in terms of keeping things running, that might be the easiest thing to do, and that might keep things as smooth as possible. So on a certain level, we would certainly expect more than just keeping order. What else do we expect of Beis Din other than keeping order? Justice, fairness and justice. How do we define justice? What's considered just and fair? Is it based on whatever a person happens to think is fair to them? I had a maisa where someone claimed that I owed them money for something, and it was pashut to me that I didn't. So I said, you know, they told me, they quoted a certain price for a certain service. I said, I'll take that price. Then they sent me an email later, and if you want the super service, it will cost more. And I never responded to the second email because I already told them, I'm going to take the $180 price. I don't want the super service. So I didn't respond about anything about the super service. Then they sent me a bill for the super service that they supposedly provided, of which they didn't even provide any evidence that they provided that service. But they sent me a bill for that greater service. So I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to pay the original price, what I actually asked for. And they said, listen, I told you if you want the super service, it's going to cost more. I said, I know what you told me. I never told you that I'm going to pay for the super service. So I'm leaving out details. I don't want to, you know. So the person said, okay, just do what you think is fair. Okay, so I'm not paying you. What I think is fair is, is that it? Just whatever I happen to think is fair, that's what we expect out of a Beis Din. For Beis Din to determine what a person thinks is fair. So one would imagine that fairness should not just be decided based completely on whatever seems fair, that it would need to be something more than that. It would need to be something a little more concrete. So how do we determine fairness in a Beis Din?
Judges.
How do they determine fairness?
What? Numerous judges.
All using just their own sense of morality?
The Torah
gives rules. There's a whole section of Shulchan Aruch called Choshen Mishpat, which goes through rules and regulations of what happens if a person is Mota B'mitzas, what happens when there's a Shomer and the Shomer damages, or something gets damaged while under the care of a Shomer. We have all of these halachos for a reason, because that is what God thinks is fair. So it doesn't matter what we think is fair, what matters is what God thinks is fair. This balance between strict justice, determining halacha, based on what the Torah says is 100% the most fair way and the correct way of doing things, and you know, as an offshoot of that, Beis Din's role of determining an emestik of psak, of determining what is absolute truth, versus Beis Din's role of making sure that society functions, is one of the major topics that are one of the undercurrents of Maseches Sanhedrin. You don't find sugyas that are explicit that deal with this philosophical question of which role is primary in Beis Din's mind. Should they view themselves as truth seekers, or should they view themselves as peacekeepers? You don't find an explicit discussion about that, but we have several discussions that I think relate very strongly to that point. And I want to go through some of those discussions today, starting, of course, with our sugya and Daf Chaf Gimel. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what the difference is. Meaning, I mean, the obvious difference is, what if the truth is not going to find you the most peace? And should you set up a system which is geared toward finding peace, or a system that's geared toward finding truth? What's the primary emphasis and the primary goal of a Beis Din? So we'll start with our sugya. The Gemara had that we went through yesterday in great detail, going through all the diyukim back and forth. At the end of the day, the way things were settled was that when you choose a Beis Din, you have two Balei Din, you have Reuven and Shimon, that have tainas on each other, or one has a taina on the other. Reuven picks one Dayan, Shimon picks another Dayan, and the two of them, either Reuven and Shimon, or their respective Dayanim, pick the third Dayan. So asks the Gemara, why would you do that? Why don't you just have Reuven and Shimon sit down and agree on a Beis Din? There's a Rabbinical Council of America, the Beis Din of America, that exists. There's a Beis Din in Muncie, there's a Beis Din in Queens. So find an established Beis Din and say, okay, that's the Beis Din we trust. That's the Beis Din we're going to go to. Why do you have to go through this whole process? So this guy chooses one, that guy chooses one, then together they choose another one. So the Gemara says, Amri b'marav mishmed Rabbi Zeira mitoch shezeh borlo dayan echad v'zeh borlo dayan echad u'shnein borlo lanod echad. Because of this process, yetzei hadin la'amito. The din is going to come out le'amito, more truthful. Now, what does that mean, yetzei hadin la'amito? Why is the fact that each one is choosing their own judge going to cause emes to prevail? How is that going to cause the truth to prevail? How is that going to be a better system in justice? So Zakt Rashi, Yetzei Adin Din Emes La'amito. Notice Rashi adds in a word. Not just Yetzei Adin La'amito, Yetzei Din Emes La'amito. So Zakt Rashi, Yetzei Din Emes La'amito, Titzaisi Balei Dinin, Disavar Hachayiv Harei Ani Ba'atzmi Birarti Ha'echad. The Balei Din are going to listen. Why are they going to listen? Because the guy that ends up being chayiv in court, that they tell him, you owe the other fellow $1,000, is going to say to himself, you know what? I made my own bed. I chose my own dayan. So he was part of the decision-making process. He's the guy that I chose. So I have no choice but to listen. I had every advantage and every opportunity by the fact that I was able to choose one of my dayanim. So it must be that he's going to listen. And if there was any legal argument to get me off the hook, then for sure my dayan would have come up with such an argument. And the fact that there was nothing to get me off the hook shows that nothing exists to get me off the hook, that I really owe the money. And the Dayanim themselves are very comfortable coming up with arguments on behalf of the Balei Din, because these Balei Din chose me. So I feel very comfortable coming up. If Shimon chose me, I got to have Shimon's back. So I'm going to be very comfortable coming up with any argument I have for Shimon. Yeah.
Doesn't that make it more biased?
Meaning, is Rashi saying that when Reuven chooses a judge, that judge is supposed to be biased toward Reuven?
Right,
and when Shimon chooses a judge, that judge is supposed to be biased toward Shimon?
Not supposed, but you can assume that he probably will be.
That he will be, right. Is that what Rashi's saying? That we create an intentional bias, but we create the bias in both directions, which by definition will even it out. Meaning, is the best way to reach MS by having three objective people, or is the best way to reach MS by having two people fight on opposite sides and one person be objective and having to come to a decision that way? So one way to read, the Pashut way to read Rashi maybe is that, yeah, you're creating a bias. The guy who was chosen by Reuven is going to fight for Reuven. That's what's going through Reuven's mind. And Rashi says not just through Reuven's mind, it's through the judge's mind also. The judge knows that Reuven chose him, and therefore he's going to work to find whatever he can to help Reuven out. And the same for Shimon. And in that way, you're going to get to the emes. Right? That's what it sounds like. Now, Yetzei Din Emes La'amito, according to Rashi, what does that mean? That it's going to, why is this better? Why is this system better? Is it more emes or more shalom? Is it Beis Din as peacemakers or Beis Din as truth finders? So, for sure peacemakers, maybe also truth finders, but definitely on the peacemaker level, Rashi says, the guy is going to be happy to listen. Meaning when Bezin comes back with the Pesach, even though they tell him, you owe $10,000, he'll be like, okay, I guess I owe $10,000, and I'll write out the check. He's not going to fight, he's not going to be angry. He realizes that he had the system that was best served to suit him, best suited to serve him, and to come out with a favorable judgment for him, and it still didn't come out with a favorable judgment, so therefore, everything's going to be happy, everyone's going to walk home happy. That's at least Rashi saying that. That for sure as peacemakers, that's what Yetze Adin La'amito is. That it's going to be a peaceful outcome. Now that doesn't sound like the word emes means truth. Yetze Adin La'amito probably shouldn't just mean a peaceful outcome. So you could argue that Rashi's saying more than just peacemakers. That Rashi's saying, why is everyone going to be so comfortable with it? Why is the guy going to listen? Because he knows that we set up a system that's actually fair. And that he's not going to say, oh, this Beis Din, they're such morons, they missed an obvious point. There's enough in a shach that would be on my side if they only would know a little more, if they would only think outside the box a little bit and realize I could have had this taina or that taina. You know, the guy's not going to walk away thinking that, because he'll know that he had an advocate on the Beis Din. And by having an advocate, every possible argument's going to be flushed out. Every possible taina on his behalf is going to be stated. So Rashi is saying, on the one hand, that it's good that it's based on his peacemakers, but on the other hand, he might be saying more than that. He might be saying, this is actually the best way to find the truth. You're going to find the truth in this way because every argument is going to be fleshed out. If you look at Tosfos, Kadesh Yetze Adin Lamito, Pirush HaRivan, quotes the Rivan, Shafilu Achayiv Yifra Baratzon, again, emphasizing at the beginning, that what? That even the guy who Bezin Paskins against is going to willingly pay whatever he owes. V'yomar kushta daini. And he's going to say, I know that they judged truthfully. Shani ba'atzmi b'rarti echad, because I chose one of the judges. V'mayachal apich b'schus yayam apich. And if he would have had, if he had any ability to come up with an argument on my behalf, he would have. L'famriya tamash makacha pirush. However, just by reading the Gemara quickly, it sounds that the real pshat is as follows: Shemitoch shebir zeshalo v'zeshalo, the girsa ushneim hashlishi, because Reuven chose one, Shimon chose one, and both of them chose the third guy. Yetze adin la'mito below ivus. You familiar with that term? What's ivus adin? Ivus adin would be a corruption of justice. Because each guy chose one, he's going to realize that there's not going to be any corruption of justice. She'a inyun shakul, because everything's going to be even. V'lo yirbu mahapkin l'chov al mahapkin l'schus v'lo lehevuch. You're not going to have a slanted Beis Din in any way. Now, what's the difference between Rashi and Tosfos? Rashi said two ideas, Tosfos said two ideas, right? Rashi said at first that the guy is going to be comfortable even when you paskin against him because he knows that he had an advocate. And second, Rashi said the Dayanim themselves are going to be comfortable advocating for a guy. Tosfos started out with the Rivan saying that the guy is going to be comfortable paying because he knows that he chose his own Dayan. And then says, but I think the normal pshat is that the judgment is going to be more fair because it's a balanced Beis Din. Sounds exactly the same. Two halves of Rashi with the two halves of Tosfos. What I think the difference might be is that Tosfos clearly distinguishes that he's giving you two separate pshatim. Tosfos clearly tells you there's the pshat of the Rivan, and then there's the pshat l'famriya tamashma. There's a pshat that by reading the sugya it implies another pshat. Clearly two distinct pshatim. Rashi fuses them together. What difference does it make if you fuse them together if it's two distinct pshatim? I think the difference that it might make is exactly what we just said before. Clearly Rashi's telling us that the Baldin, Reuven, or Shimon, whoever you're going to say is Chayiv, is more comfortable. But what makes him more comfortable? Is he more comfortable just because he was placated by the fact that he got to choose a Dayan? Or is he more comfortable with the knowledge because he's secure in the knowledge that the truth is what prevailed? By Rashi fusing the two together, you could easily argue that his comfort is derived from the fact that the truth is what prevailed. Because the Balei Din, the Dayanim, also are going to be mehapech for his zuchus, and therefore he knows he can be comfortable in the fact, knowing that truth is what prevailed, that what happened is true justice. Tosfos, by dividing the two pshatim, is saying, no, these are two distinct issues. Issue number one is, maybe it's a better way of choosing a Beis Din because the people are just going to be happier. The guy is just going to be comfortable. He's going to be happy. Possibility number two, Tosfos says, is nothing to do with making people happy. It's about fairness. And the best way to achieve a balanced and fair Beis Din is by having each guy choose one of the Dayanim. So you could argue with that, Diuk, but that's perhaps the difference between Rashi and Tosfos. Whether it's about truth or about fair, or it's about satisfying people, about shalom, about keeping the peace. Says the Rash. The Rashi is saw in the back of the Gemara. The Rash comments on this Rashi, and really comments on the Rivan, that Rashi and the Rivan have this idea that I'm going to be comfortable paying, and I'm going to be comfortable. I'll be at peace with whatever the psak of the Beis Din is because I chose a dayan. So says the Rush in Simon Beis, Mepineshe yesh chisre das toin bedivir Rashi, because there are morons who make a mistake in the words of Rashi. I think that's the best translation of chisre das, people who lack das, that make a mistake in the words of Rashi, ulemeidin mimenu, and they derive from Rashi, shadayin yesho lahapich bezchus oso shabire, va'omid bimakomo lachbos bedvar masher lo kadin. People read this Rashi and they say, oh, you know what you see from this Rashi? That you got to lawyer up, that you get yourself a good lawyer. That's the role of a dayan. There are no lawyers in Beis Din. So within the system of dayanim themselves, your dayan acts as your lawyer. And what I mean to say is, says the Rush, people think that Rashi means he's supposed to act as your lawyer in the sense that his job is not to find the truth, his job is to get you off the hook. And if he can come up with anything that the other two dayanim will buy, even if he knows that it's not MS, he's got to do that because his job is to get you off the hook. That's the way people read this Rashi. He says, but if you read Rashi that way, you're a moron. Because for Rashi to suggest that a dayan's job is to get his guy off the hook, even when it's against the din, is absolutely ludicrous. V'nagu kama anashim livrar lahem bal tachbulos. There are a lot of people, when they choose their dayan, instead of choosing an erlich talmud chacham, they choose someone who's a trickster, who's someone who can come up with all sorts of loopholes and all sorts of ways to get him off. V'nitlin b'divei Rashi, and they say when they're accused of a miscarriage of justice, they say, what do you mean? Rashi said that's what I'm supposed to do, that I'm supposed to choose someone who can get me off the hook. Shemashma sheyesh lahabich b'zchuso. But says the Rush, v'chalila v'chas. God forbid, Rashi never said such a thing. So what does Rashi say? Lo diktiku b'dvarav. They weren't, people who say this weren't careful in reading Rashi. Shekasav disavri harei ani birarti. Rashi doesn't say that the reason this is a better system is because each judge is going to argue on behalf of the guy who chose him. No, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says this is a better system because the guy who chose him, savri. What does savri mean? Well, think that my judge is going to have my back. He won't actually, but as long as psychologically the Bali didn't think that, then shalom will prevail. Ki hu sover kach shiahapich b'zchuso yosemi b'zchusa acher. Umitokzet, sayis l'dinei. He thinks his judge will be on his side. Aval hadayan atzmo chalila lo limso svar l'zchuso im lo shiyir lo din gamur. But God forbid for the dayan to come up with any sort of svara that's not correct min adin, God forbid. No, he should never do such a thing. Aval im hayu yochel ahatos eschaveru l'kabos varaso aval pishu mesupapa harizu b'chal mata mishpat. It's an issur in the Torah to do that. If he comes up with a svara that he thinks is not MS, that the other dayanim, I think I could pull the wool over their eyes and get the other dayanim to believe this. Well, that's mata mishpat. He's perverting justice. That's terrible. What? Right. That's terrible. He has no right. Avol mitog shezeh biruro. However, says the Rush, he gives a little now. At first, he sounds very strong. No, God forbid that he should be anyway biased in one way or the other. And he says, well, it's hard to say Rashi's saying that there shouldn't be a bias at all. Because Rashi himself says at the end of Rashi that what? That even the Dayanim themselves, because this guy chose him, he's going to be mehapich b'zchusa. What did Rashi mean by that? So says Rashi, I'll tell you what Rashi meant by that. Mitoch shezabiro meivin dvarav li'ishuro. What does that mean? because this guy chose me, I get him. I understand him. I know the way he's thinking. I understand what his tainas are. Even if he doesn't articulate very well and he's not able to express every taina that he could have. But because he chose me, I'm going to put myself in his shoes and I'm going to be able to figure out what's going through his mind. And if I can come up with any legitimate argument to help him out, then I'll come up with it. So he says, unbelievable. That's what the second dayan is also supposed to do. He's not supposed to come up with false claims, but he's supposed to come up with every viable claim. Essentially, what you have is, sometimes you have people in law firms whose job it is to do research. The job isn't there are certain people whose job it is, from what I understand, to present the case. False, true, whatever, to present the case. Others, their job is just to do the research, find precedent, go through all the books, see what claims you can come up with for your client, to help out your client. Clearly a bias, but you gotta help your client, you gotta help your guy. But you're doing research, you're researching it from his perspective. The other Dayan is gonna research from the other perspective, and that's his job. And the third Dayan is going to be completely unbiased and just listen to the two sides. Now, all three get a vote when it comes to the actual voting. It's not only the third guy that gets a vote. It's not only the unbiased guy that gets a vote. But it's not a bias in judgment. It's a bias in coming up with claims. Meaning, when Reuven chooses me, does that mean when it comes down to the voting, I'm automatically going to vote for Reuven? Meaning, when it comes down to voting, who owes who money? I'm automatically going to vote that Reuven doesn't owe the money or he is owed the money? Of course not. No, that would be terrible. That would be a Dayan who's... That's evil sadin. That's an Isidar Raisa. What's the Dayan's job? Judges do a deliberation and then they do a psak. In deliberations, Reuven's Dayan's job is to present for Reuven. And Shimon's Dayan's job is to present for Shimon. Present all the arguments for Shimon. Once all the arguments are out there, it's like when you're learning with a chavrusa. So you're trying to advocate your position. You understand the Gemara a certain way, and you're trying to advocate your position. At the end, your chavrusa is trying to advocate his position. At the end of the day, you may realize, if you're honest, that he's right. So while you spent all that time advocating for your position, if you see, you've heard what he has to say, you've heard what you have to say, and you realize that he's right, at the end of the day, a good Ben Torah should be able to say, all right, he was right. I was wrong. He was right about that. That's what the Dayan is supposed to be. He's supposed to spend his time advocating for the position of the guy who chose him. But then at the end of the day, after he's heard both sides, he should be able to vote impartially. He should be able to vote fairly. That's the way the Rosh understands the role of the Dayan. But God forbid for it to just be that he comes up with things that are incorrect, or that he's automatically going to vote for the guy that chose him because look, he did such a nice job as choosing me for the by choosing me for the Dayan. Now, exactly how to understand the Rosh, I just saw in the Masifta Gemara he quotes a Machlokas Achronim, exactly how to understand the Rosh, whether there's a discussion about. How to understand the Rosh exactly. He quotes that the Torah understands that the Baal, meaning the Rosh is explaining Rashi. The Rashi says that the Baal Din think he's advocating for me, but not that it's actually happened, right? The first half of the Rosh. That they think, Savri, they think he's doing something, it's not actually happening, right? So what does that mean? What do the Baal Dinim actually think? They think he's that the Dayan I chose is going to lie for me? Is that what they think? Meaning, that which the Rosh emphasizes, they're thinking something, it's not that it's actually true. So they're thinking that there's going to be, that the Dayan they chose is going to lie for them and going to cheat for them? Is that what they think? So the Trumas Hadeshen, the Tur understands that the Bali didn't think that the Dayanim are going to be Mahapich B'zchusam Afilu Shalokadin. Yeah, they're going to lie and cheat for them. And that's why Chisrei Das, morons, thought that that's actually what the judge is supposed to do. No, it's not what the judge is supposed to do. It's what the Baal Din are supposed to think the judge is doing. But the judge is not actually supposed to do that. The Trumas HaDeshen, however, understands that the Bali didn't know that it's usur for the Dayanim to lie and cheat for them. They're never going to have a Havamina that Dayanim are lying and cheating for them. No, what they're doing is they're relying that because my Dayan gets me and he understands my argument and he's researching my argument, he's researching my side of the case, so he's going to be able to find something that's going to work for me. The Chisrei Das invent the idea of Tainos Sheker. The Chisrei Das read Rashi, and they're the ones that invented the idea of Tainos Sheker. So again, the Torah holds, who came up with the idea of Tainos Sheker? The Bali Din. The Bali Din think that their Dayanim are going to come with Tainos Sheker. Chumash Sedeshan says, no, the Bali Din aren't idiots. They know that a judge can't come up with a Tainos Sheker. It's the Chisrei Das who misunderstand things that think that it's going to be a Tainos Sheker, that it's okay to have a Dayan come with a Tainos Sheker. And the Bach wonders, according to the Tor's explanation, that the Bali Din themselves actually think that the Dayanim are going to lie for them. Well, the Rosh himself writes that it's mutter for the Dayan to emphasize one side more than the other. So the Bach asks, minayin laharosh Rashi iskavin b'masha kosev isavri shemayach labizchusi yimapech l'tainos sheker v'lo l'tainos emes. How did the Rosh know that Rashi meant when he said that they're going to think he's out for my behalf, that it's about Tainus Sheker? Maybe that's about Tainus Emes. Maybe the Bali Din are going to think that no, he's going to come up with something legitimate for me, not something illegitimate. So he says that the Bach explains that the Rush's explanation of Rashi is based on the fact that Rashi adds in at the end that v'hadayon atzmam noach lehem, that the Dayanim themselves are also happy to come up with arguments on their behalf. Meaning, Rashi seems to be saying a second idea, the way he understands it. So there are two distinct ideas. Number one, there's what the Bali Dinim think. Number two, there's what the Dayanim are actually going to do. Now, if the Bali Dinim only think that the Dayanim are going to come up with legitimate arguments for me, well, that's actually what's happening. So then there is no second idea. Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, right, how did Rashi say? First he said that Savri, that the Bali didn't think that he's going to come up with something for me, that he's going to have my back, he's going to watch out for my side of the argument. And then he says, separately, v'hadayanim ba'atzman, and also the Dayanim, aside from that, are also going to come up with something for him. Well, that's the same. If what the Bali didn't think is that the Dayan is going to come up with something legitimate, well, that in fact is what the Dayanim do. So why is it only Savri? The way the Rush reads Rashi is that the Bali Din are thinking something that's wrong, and the Dayanim are doing something that's right. So it can't be that what the Bali Din think the Dayanim are doing is what the Dayanim are actually doing. Savri, the Bali Din are supposed to think something is going on that's actually not happening. The Dayanim are actually doing what is happening when they're doing the right thing. So says the Bach, that's why Savri must mean that the Bali Din think the Dayanim are lying and cheating for me. The Dayanim are actually being truthful. If Savri meant that the Bali Din think the Dayanim are being truthful, they're just helping me out in a truthful way, well then, why is it only Savri that they think that? No, that's what's actually happening. That's what's supposed to happen. The Rosh himself is moda that that's what's supposed to happen. Yeah.
The second part of Rashi where he says that the Dayanim themselves will feel comfortable, if they're not being untruthful and just being biased in their judgment, then why should they care about that they know that the other side also has someone?
Because there's a strong argument to be made that the best way to arrive at the truth is to have research done on both sides from a biased perspective.
But they know that, they know for themselves, if at the end of the day they're just
right,
voting for what they know is most
at the end, once the arguments are all hashed out, their mind could be changed in all the deliberations.
So they're comfortable knowing that the other arguments will be put on the table.
Right. Right. But the point I'm trying to draw out over here is that I mentioned to you, the Rush says that when Rashi says Savri, that the Bali Din are going to think something that's not true. Right? The Rush made a big point of that. That it's only that they're going to think something's going on, but it's not actually going on. Right? I pointed out to you, machlokas, whether the Balei Din are going to... what is that that they're thinking? Are they thinking that the guy is going to come up with legitimate arguments for me? Or that he's going to come up with illegitimate arguments for me? Right? Machlokas between the Torah and the Trumas Hadashen. What's he going to be thinking? Is he going to be thinking that that my die is going to come up with bona fide arguments? Or with, you know, wrong and falsified arguments? That's a machlokas between the Trumas Hadashen and the Torah. The Bach just points out that you have to say that the Balei didn't think that he's going to come up with false arguments for me. Because if you say that they think he's going to come up with truthful arguments for me, well then why is it only something that they think? Of course, he is actually doing that. The way the Rush understands it is the Savri is something that the Balei didn't think that isn't really true. But what's really happening is that my Dayan's advocating for me within the legal framework, and the other Dayan is advocating for the other guy within a legal framework. That's what's really happening. Savri, the Balei Din, thinks something else is going on. So what's that something else? There's only one possibility what that something else is. That they think something illegal is going on. That their Dayan is going to come up with illegal arguments. So you have to say, like that daya that holds, that the Balei Din think that there were illegal arguments being presented. Because if the Balei Din thought that there were legal arguments being presented, if that was the Das Balei Din, that there were legal arguments being presented, well then why does the Rush make a big deal about, oh no, that's just what they think, but that's not the truth. No, that is the truth. That's actually what's going on. I just wanted to make that point within the Rush. But again, this is the first place, I think, where you see this conflict or this discussion about what are we really looking for in Din. When we say this is the best system, having a judge for that guy, a judge for that guy, and that. So Rashi and the first day on Tosfos seem to say, well, it's the best system because everyone's happy with it. At the end of the day, people will walk out of court with a smile on their face. That's what makes it best. And then Tosfos in the second shot says, no, it's the best system because it's the best way at arriving at the truth. Which is the primary role of Beis Din? Is Beis Din's primary role to make sure everyone walks out with a smile on their face? Or is Beis Din's primary role to arrive at the truth? Yeah?
You can't always make it that everyone walks out with a smile. The guy loses, he's going to be upset.
Okay, can't always, but that's, we're mitigating that. The fact that he'd be angry by saying, we're going to have him choose a judge so he'll be less angry. I mean, you can make it better for him. And that's exactly what Rashi says. That's exactly what the Rivan says. That the guy's going to be at peace with the fact that he has to pay and that he lost because he knows that he chose one of the judges. So is that what we're aiming for? We're aiming for him to be at peace with himself? We're aiming for everyone to be comfortable? Or are we aiming for the absolute truth? Now, if you look in the Mukhe Yosef, so the Nemuke Yosef, which again is on the pages of the Rif in the back of the Gemara, Nemuke Yosef writes, on Daf, well, in the old Tzuris Daf, in Daf Gimlam Beis Bedap Erif, Nemuke Yosef says, the last three lines, Pirshua Achronim Zal, Dimikivan Shebiru Hu Ma'ayin Bedavar Yafe, I choose a judge, so that judge is going to look out for me. Vafiluk shehu roa she yischayev bedin, einu memaher lifso kadin kenegdo. New idea. What does that mean? Vafiluk shehu roa. Even when my judge sees she yischayev bedin, einu memaher lifso kadin kenegdo. What does that mean? See that, Mukhe Yosef? In the bottom of Gimel Beis Bedaper, if you don't have a riff in the back. Okay, you gotta get a real Gemara. So, what does it mean? Says in Mukhe Yosef, if I know that Reuven chose me, it's true. By the end of the day, when I vote, in this case, I'm gonna have to be truthful. But I'm gonna delay that as much as possible. Because I really, it like hurts a little bit to vote against Reuven. He chose me to be a judge. Like, he trusted me to, you know, be his advocate. So it hurts a little to have to vote against him. I'll do it if that's the truth. But it hurts to do that. So I'm going to be as patient as possible and delay as much as possible till I vote. And that's good, says Mukhei Yosef. Why is that a good thing? Because Pirkei Avos says, have a musunim bedin, that whenever you're issuing a judgment, very critical not to rush to judgment, to be patient. Because the more patience you have, the more time you have to think about it clearly, the less likely you are to be impulsive in your judgment. And Malcolm Gladwell's blink, notwithstanding, you know, impulsivity is not always the best way at arriving at the truth. Anyone get that reference? Anyone ever read Malcolm Gladwell? No? Gotta read Malcolm Gladwell. Okay. Anyway, the best way at arriving at the truth is not always just by impulsive, quick, you know, 1 second judgment. Usually it's by the more time you spend thinking about it, the more you'll be able to understand and appreciate and come at and arrive at a calm and reasoned conclusion. So we want the judgment to take its time and to sort itself out over time. The best way to do that is by having each guy choose a judge, because no one's going to want to vote against his guy, and they'll drag out the court case as long as possible. So what's the Mukhei Yosef saying? Is this dinner or is this shalom? Is this emes or is this shalom? It is emes. Right? The best way at arriving at the truth is by having each guy choose his own person, because it will take longer, and having Masunim Bedin is a better way at arriving at the truth. So again, you have this conflict. Truth or Shalom? What are we looking for over here? The Rivan seems to emphasize, Rivan quoted by Tosfos seems to emphasize the Shalom element. The second day of Tosfos and the Numukai Yosef seems to emphasize the MS element. Rashi, unclear, seems to emphasize both, right? You could read Rashi as emphasizing both the MS or the Shalom element. That's the conflict. So what I want to do is I want to show you a couple of other sugyas, some right here on this, one right here on this page, and a couple of others throughout Shas, where you see this conflict between MS and Shalom in Dine Torah. I don't know if we're going to get to all of it today. And whatever we don't get to today, we'll. Oh, tomorrow is a special shiur. Thursdays we do the whole yeshiva together. So tomorrow is a special shiur, either Rabbi Levin or myself. One of us will give a shiur to everybody. Not yet sure who. Sunday, we do have yeshiva Sunday. Sunday, I'm going to have to give shiur early. So if possible, too, because I have a chasm in Pittsburgh on Sunday, so I got to fly to Pittsburgh. So Sunday, I got to give shiur early. Thanks. Monday I should be back regular time. I mean I'm not going to be here for Shabbos Monday morning because I'm flying back from Pittsburgh Monday morning, but you know, should be here regular time for Shir at least. So so we'll continue this Sunday. Whatever we don't finish now, we'll continue Sunday. But let's discuss. Oh, and also tomorrow is probably, if the Rosh Hashiva is ready to give one, will be the first Hashkafa Shmuz from Rosh Hashiva, from Rabbi Kamenetsky. So that will be that's 20 minutes before Shir. Okay. One other, let's go to another thing that's on the page over here. The Gemara had mentioned in the part that we skipped yesterday, where each one is disqualifying the other one's Beis Din, says, I don't want to go to your Beis Din. So the Gemara had asked, is the Lova able to determine that he doesn't want to go to the Malva's Beis Din? Does the Lova have the right to do that? Don't we learn Avalova Kovanos of Adan Biro, that you can, the Malva can force the Lova to come to his city? And let's say the Malva and Lova don't live in the same city. The Lova lives in Baltimore, the Malva lives in New York. So the Malva says, come to Beis Din in New York. Lova says, I don't want to show up to New York, you come to Beis Din in Baltimore. So, according to the Gemara, the Lova does not have the right to schlep the Malva. Yeah, this guy lent you money. You can say, oh, in addition to lending me money, I also want him, he did me a favor, I also want him to schlep to my Beis Din. No way. You borrow the money, you go to his Beis Din. Right? So, the Gemara says, Kedam Rabbi Yochanan ben Chosha b'Suria, Shanu Achanan ben Chosha b'Suria, of Mumchen La, that's only by Rechosh Surya, but not by Mumchen. We'll leave that out for now. We'll discuss that eventually. Rav Papa Amar Afilu Tema Mumchen. It could even be that both their Batei Din are expert Batei Din, they're great Batei Din, and you're still canceling them out. The Lova could still be Ma'akiv and say, I don't want the Malvas Beis Din. Kigon Beidina Dravuna Drav Chista. The Kamalei Mikum Etrachna Lach. And the situation is that the Lova and the Malva's Beis Din are both in the same city. I mean, the Lova can't tell the Malva, I don't want to go to New York, you come to me in Baltimore. But the Lova can tell the Malva, I don't want to go to that basin in New York. I want to go to a different basin in New York, because you know, it's no bigger. It's not a bigger tircha for you. So that the Lova can insist that they go to a different basin in the same city. He doesn't have to accept the Malva's basin, because Mikom Etrachnalach, am I really bothering you? So what's the Gemara's example of a Beisdin that's in the same location? So Gemara says, Beidina Drav Huna Drav Chista. Rashi says, the Travayu B'chad Makom. They're both in the same city, Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Frek Tosfos Akasha. He says, it can't be that Rav Huna and Rav Chista were in the same city, having that they, Rav Huna and Rav Chista had Batei Din in the same city. Why not? So he saw the Tosfos. What does he say? We know, the Gemara in Erevin tells us, that Rav Chista lo haya maru lefnei Rav Huna afil bayasu bekutcha. Rav Huna wouldn't paskin even the most simple shayla in front of Rav Chista, because there is a halacha that a Talmud is not allowed to be more halacha bifnei Rabba, that a Talmud is not allowed to paskin in front of his Rebbe. So even the simplest shayla in the world, Rav Chista would not paskin in front of Rav Huna. And you're going to tell me he set up a Beis Din in the same city? Can't be. Can't be he would set up a Beis Din. It's also for him to paskin. So how could he set up a Beis Din in the same city? For Kolshkein, to Din lo haya osu b'fanav. If he wouldn't even paskin a simple shayla, of course he wouldn't be Dana Din Torah in the same city. So what's the answer? So Tosa says, V'nir li shayu smuchim zel v'zeh chutz l'gimel parsaos. The halacha that you're not allowed to paskin in front of your Rebbe is within gimel parsaos of your Rebbe. Could be it was a very big city, and the two Batei Din were more than three parsaos away from each other. I don't know. Not sure. Four mil, I think, is the price. Not sure. The mil is, what, like 3/4 of a mile. So it could be that there were more than three parsaos away from each other, but it was still in the same city, and therefore it's not a violation of the halacha. Any other terutzim? What else would you say? What's this halacha that you're not allowed to paskin in front of your Rebbe? You're not allowed to be mora halacha b'fnei Rabbo. So, and is that the same as setting up a din? So there are a couple of simple terutzim that some of the Rishonim suggest. I just saw this morning, actually. The Ramban says that, no, they weren't in the same city. The two Batei Din were an equal distance from the Malva city. Meaning, the Malva lived in New York, and he says, I want to go to a Beis Din in West Hempstead. The Malva lived in Lawrence, and he said, I want to go to a Beis Din in West Hempstead. The Lova could say, no, we're going to the Beis Din in Oceanside. Well, it might not come in, whether you drive 15 minutes to West Hempstead or 15 minutes to Oceanside. Meaning neither Beis Din, Rav Huna's Beis Din, Rav Chista's Beis Din, one was in West Hempstead, one was in Oceanside. Neither of them were, they weren't in the same city, but it's still, the Lova could still argue to the Malva, Mikom Etrachnalach, am I really bothering you? Am I really inconveniencing you that much? You could just go to the other Beis Din. You could just go to the same distance that you were willing to go to my Beis Din. That's what it means, says the Ramban. The Ran suggests, in the Chidush HaRan over here, that no one said that Rav Huna and Rav Chista actually had a Beis Din in the same city. It says, Kigon Beidin, meaning actually sat on a Beis Din in the same city, actually were judges in the same city. It says, Beidina de Rav Huna, Beidina de Rav Chista. What's YU called? What's the name of the yeshiva? Was Rabbi Yisrael Chanan ever in YU? No. Rabbi Yisrael Chanan died before YU was started. They named it after him. Meaning, sometimes institutions have names. Yeshivas Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin, Rav Chaim Berlin was never in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin in New York. So what's, sometimes institutions have names. Davis, Renoff, and Stoller have all been in here. But sometimes institutions have names where they have no real shaychus to the, doesn't mean that Rav Chaim Berlin is sitting there as the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. But it's called Yeshivas Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. Beidina de Rav Huna, Beidina de Rav Chista, says the Ran, doesn't mean that Rav Huna is the judge or the Rav Chista is the judge. It means that people who felt inspired by Rav Huna, or people who were Talmidim or were inspired by Rav Chista, set up these Batei Din and they named the Beis Din, the Beidina de Rav Huna, the Beidina de Rav Chista. Nothing to do with Rav Huna and Rav Chista themselves. Okay, so more of a Balbatish Teretz, not so Lomdish. So, another approach though, that's discussed, Margolis Yam quotes it, this is the Torah Chaim, from the Torah Chaim, one of the Achronim, and it seems to be, it seems to have sources in Rishonim, in the Ma'arik, that maybe this halacha, that a Talmud is not allowed to pass him in front of his Rebbe, is only when it comes to a shaila in halacha, not when it comes to a din Torah. You want to know your milchik spoon fell into your pot of noodles that was cooking in the fleshik pot, you know, so well, what does that mean for the pot and for the noodles and for the spoon? So that you can go to, you cannot, a Talmud is not allowed to pasuk in front of his Rebbe. Hora'a, a psak, an isra v'heter, Talmud is not allowed to pasuk in front of his Rebbe. But a din Torah, a Talmud is allowed to pasuk in front of his Rebbe. You're allowed to participate in a din Torah even when the Rebbe's not there. Why? What's the svara for such a thing? That there should be a chilik between hora'a and din. So we're actually probably not going to get to the entire sugya. I'm going to give you a bit of a taste of hora'a versus din today. There is another halacha, a similar halacha, paskin based on the Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin, that Bachach Mechad Va'asar Im Chachamacher Yachal Atiro. Give a 10-minute halacha shiur and stop it during the summer. That if one rabbi paskins that something is asir, another rabbi is not permitted to paskin that it's mutter. Meaning, if you asked the shaila and you didn't like the answer you got, you can't then go to another rabbi, and meaning, A, you can't go to another rabbi and ask him to give a different psak. B, if you do go to another rabbi, that other rabbi is not allowed to give a psak. This happens all the time. I get calls all the time. That I asked so-and-so this shayla, but I don't know, I didn't really understand his psak. He paskin this. So, what do you say? I say, listen to the first rabbi. If you want me to talk to him and discuss with him whether, you know, what the logic for his psak was, I'll be happy to call him and discuss it with him. And if it turns out that he was wrong and I could convince him that he was wrong, so fine, maybe he'll back out on his psak. But I'm not going to paskin the shayla that was already paskin. You have no right to do that. That's an isr. Why? Why is that asr to do? So the Shach says that it's asr because of the concept of shavya nashay chaticha diyisura. That when you ask a rabbi for psak halacha, so you're accepting whatever his answer is. Whatever his response is going to be, you're accepting that as the halacha. Shavya nashay chaticha diyisura. And therefore, once you make something asr for yourself, you're not allowed to then make it mutter for yourself. The other understanding is the Ramah writes that no, it's nothing to do with shavya nashay. It's about bizayon of the original, of the first chacham. You ask the chacham a shayla, he paskin, now you're going to be mevazin by going to another chacham and having a psak come out the opposite way. So, the question of Shechter just pointed out, why don't we give a much simpler reason? The halacha is, once there's a gemar din in a din Torah, if you go to Bezin says, they put the gavel down, I don't know if they have gavels in din Torah, but let's say they do. They put the gavel down and they say, chayiv, Ruvein, you're chayiv. To pay Shimon, whatever. So that's it. Din is over. Once you have a Gemar Din, there's no, you know, oh, but my local rabbi said that Gemar Din didn't make sense. It was a Gemar Din. It all happened in a Beis Din. Why don't you say that's the reason? I asked the rabbi a shayla. He gave me an answer. Gemar Din! Done! What do you have to call it? Shavya nafshi chaticha di surah, covenant of the Talmud Chacham. Why don't we just say it's based on a Gemar Din? So Rav Shechter said, what you see is that there's a major difference between hora'a and din. Hora'a is, you're asking me what the halacha is. Din is, you're asking me to judge this case. When it comes to a hora'a, general psak, that's when we say, when it comes to a din Torah, between two different people, that's when we say there's a gemar din, finished. By a hora'a, there's no gemar din. There's no final word. This is, it's an alive, it's a living process of halacha, of determining what the Torah's value is and what the Torah believes about anything. And someone else could come up with a chiddush tomorrow that's going to change the psak. That's hora'a. But din is, this case, Reuven Shimon, what do you do? Din. The way Rav Shachter likes to say it, the Shemer of Soloveitchik, is that when it comes to a din, I'm paskening on people. When it comes to hora, I'm paskening on Torah. You want to know the milchik spoon fell into the fleshik pot, blah, blah, blah. I want to know what the halacha is. You're not paskening, am I a guilty party or an innocent part? You're paskening the halacha. What does the Torah say? When it's a din between Reuven and Shimon, someone's guilty, someone's innocent. Someone's chayv, someone's pater. Paskening on people. That's what they say, B'Shem Rebbeinu Naipshitz, that you could have a guy who comes with the shaylin, hilchus treifus, where he invested a ton of money in buying a rare animal, and then he had the animal shechted, and the animal turned out, and he has there might be a hole in the lung, and he brings the shaila to a rabbi, and the rabbi says, "I'm sorry to tell you, it's treif. There's a hole in the lung. It's a total waste. You have to throw the whole thing out." And the guy, is he going to be angry at the rabbi? What do you say? Is he going to be angry at the rabbi?
Logically
speaking, is he angry at the rabbi?
Could be.
Usually not angry at the rabbi. He's angry, maybe. He's disappointed. But it's not, the rabbi's such an idiot. He told me that there's a hole in the lung. There's a hole in the lung. What do you want him to do? Reuven comes with the Din Torah against Shimon. And they each argue their side. And the Dayan paskins, Reuven, you're right, Shimon, you're wrong. Is Shimon angry at the Dayan? Yeah, he gets angry at the Dayan. Why? Says Reuven Snapshitz. Because by a hora'a, he's not paskining me. He's paskining a halacha. It could cost me a lot of money. But he's paskining a halacha. I don't have any tainas. By a din, he's paskining me. It could be a small claims court. It's over $5. Worth a lot less than the treifa. But it's going to bother him because he's paskining me. He's not paskining just the halacha. He says, that's the machlokas. Rashi and Tosos and Daf Lamed Vav, we see later in the Masechta, in regards to appointing a ger to a position of srara. There is an isser. You're not allowed to appoint a ger to a position of authority. So Rashi says that a ger is not allowed to be a judge in dinei nefashos cases, but he is allowed to be a judge in dinei mamonos cases. And Tosos says he's not even allowed to be a judge in dinei mamonos cases. So Tosos, you understand, a ger is not allowed to be in a position of srara. So he's not allowed to be a judge in dinei nefashos or dinei mamonos. That's a srara. Being a judge is a srara. It's a position of authority. But what about Rashi? What's the pshat that a ger should be allowed to be done dinei mamonos but not dinei nefashos? So let's see if I can get this done in 5 minutes. There is a Gemara Maseches Makos and Daf Hei. The Gemara says that if Edom come and are meyed, that Ploni was Mechal Shabbos on the week of Parshas Noach. And then other Edom come and say, Imanu Hiyisem, you were with us the week of Parshas Noach when you claimed that the murder happened, so you're Edom Zom. And then other Edom come and say, not the murder, the Chil Shabbos happened. Then other Edom come and say that that same guy that was accused of Chil Shabbos, we saw him be Michal Shabbos on Parshas, Shabbos, Parshas, Lech Lecha. Not the same Shabbos that the first guys were made. But he was Michal Shabbos. So it turns out, when the first guys were made, that the guy was Chayiv Misa, that Reuven was Chayiv Misa for being Michal Shabbos, he actually was Chayiv Misa. It was just the wrong Shabbos. They totally fabricated the testimony, but what they said was actually true. He was Chayiv Misa. So the Gemara says, there's still Edom Zomim. The first set of Edom still gets killed because their testimony was fabricated. Even though what they said was actually true, their testimony is fabricated, they still get killed. However, what if you have the following case? First set of Edom comes and is meyed that Reuven damaged Shimon and Parshas Noach and therefore owes him money. Then Edom come and say, no, Imanu Yisem, you're Edom Zomim, you were with us somewhere else in a different city, the whole Parshas Noach, there's no way you knew about any damage. And then other Edom come and say, Reuven damaged Shimon and Parshas Lech Lecha, same amount of money. So do you go back and say that the first set is Edom Zomim? Says the Gemara, no. First set is not Edom Zomim. Because when they said that Reuven owes the money, he in fact did owe the money. So what's the chilek? What's the chilek between the two? So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, and also the Trumas HaKri, the brother of the Ksos HaChoshen, an unbelievable chiddush, that by Dinei Nefashos, Beis Din, when it comes to someone chayv misa or not, by Din Nefashos, the chiyuv misa comes from Beis Din. I referred to this 2 days ago. The chiyuv misa doesn't happen because Reuven kills Shimon, he's chayv misa. No, it's because a Beis Din determines that Reuven killed Shimon and therefore he's chayv misa, that he's chayv misa. When I borrow money, when Reuven borrows money from Shimon, when does Reuven owe the money? As soon as he borrows it. He owes the money. Now, it may not be provable, and we may not be able to get the money from him until it gets brought to Beis Din, but in reality, he owes the money immediately. But if Reuven kills Shimon, he did an aveira right away, but he's not chayiv misa until Beis Din determines as such. Until Beis Din issues the psak that he's chayiv misa. The psak of Beis Din by Dinei Mamonos is a gilui milsa. Reuven owes Shimon the money, Beis Din just has to find out the facts. Does he or does he not owe him the money? But it's a chiyuv that already exists before Beis Din gets involved. Beis Din just has to find if that chiyuv is true or not. By dinu nefashos, Beis Din creates the chiyuv. Therefore, says Rav Shechter, maybe that's pshat in Rashi. Rashi says, a ger is allowed to serve on a Beis Din in dinei mamonos, but he's not allowed to serve on a Beis Din in dinei nefashos. Why? What is a ger not allowed to do? He's not allowed to do srara. He's not allowed to be in a position of authority over others, lording over others. In dinei mamonos, what's the role of the Beis Din? Fact-finding. They're not making anything new. They're not creating something new. They're finding out, does Reuven owe the money? Does he not owe the money? That's not srara. Dinei nefashos, what's Beis Din doing? They're creating chiyuv. They're creating chiyuv. That's srara. Maybe that's why Rashi holds a ger cannot be by dinei nefashos, can be by dinei mamonos. Happens to be, by the way, exactly how to define srara for a ger is not so pashut. What is the position of authority? Can a ger be a president of a shul? Can a ger be a rabbi of a shul? Let's say he doesn't want to be a rabbi of a shul. Can you give him smicha? If he's in the smicha, you know, he wants to apply for a smicha program. Can you accept him? Why you had to deal with this? Can you accept to get into? Can you be a rebbe in a yeshiva? So the one right we have is there is a gemara at the end of Kiddushin that says that Kashim gerim liyisrael kesapachas. The gerim are very tough for the Jewish people to handle the fact that we have gerim. So there are a lot of shitos why that should be the case. Why are gerim so bad for us? So some say because they're more likely to revert to their old ways, or that maybe we're going to mistreat them, and that's going to be a big avera for us, because the Torah says so many times they not mistreat a ger, so it's like a lifne iver, that we always have to be very careful about how we treat them. Then Tosfos quotes, but Rabbi Avram HaGer holds that Kashim gerim liyisrael kesapachas means that gerim are so much better at doing mitzvahs than we are, that it's going to make us look bad. And that's why gerim, because gerim are so who says that? Rabbi Avram HaGer. But notice what's his name? Rabbi Avram HaGer. So apparently, someone held that you're allowed to give a ger smicha. Someone held the ger is allowed to be a rabbi. But anyway, that's the difference between dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos. So I want to highlight, though, is the difference between isser v'heter and dinei mamonos, that they're two completely different things. Isser v'heter is a psak in the halacha. Dinei mamonos is a psak on the person. Now, is that enough to explain why a Talmud is not allowed to give a psak halacha in front of his rebbe, but he is allowed to do dinei mamonos in front of his rebbe? We'll have to see. So I think we can connect that back to our general discussion about what the role of Beis Din in dinei mamonos is. It's obviously a longer shiur, so we'll pick up with that on Sunday, I guess.